Good afternoon, good evening, good metal. My name's Coop and welcome to the Spoken Metal Show. This episode was a fun one. This is with Novacrow. We sat down and basically chopped up the entire album, their new album, Look At Me Now, available on all your favourite streaming services. And we thought it'd be fun to go through track by track and just talk about the tracks, some of the kind of the meanings that maybe people weren't aware of the tracks and what was going on with recording them and some of the things that went into the writing and conception and the evolution of them when those tracks began, the inception of them and that type of thing. And it's just good to talk to. I mean, I've been listening to the album since it came out now, and it's a wonderful piece of work. It's a incredibly well-recorded, strong album, and there's lots and lots of songs on there which really kind of lend themselves to deeper thought and deeper things, and some that are just plain fun, which is pretty much Novacrow in a nutshell. It's always good to speak to them, and finally got all three members of Novacrow together. I've had Kitty and Freddie on the show independently, so it was nice to get all three. The album's called Look At Me Now, and it's got the purple sort of cover with the Medusa head. If you see that while you're flicking through your albums, I would suggest this is the entire album and probably listen to along with this track by track. And also, the intention was that if you'd heard the album before, this would be a nice accompaniment to it. And if you haven't, it would be a nice one to go, actually, I might just check them out now. It's a band I've not really heard of or even considered. I think I'll check them out. And that was really the bigger intention, but more than anything, it was just a lot of fun to sit down track by track and talk to Novacrow about their newest album, Look At Me Now. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not the Spoken Metal Show, it's the Spoken Novacrow. I have all three members.
Hell
in rare
yeah.
Moments of collecting all three, like some kind of twisted Pokemon card fiasco. I have all three members of Novacrow ready to talk about the new album. Welcome, folks. Welcome.
Absolutely. Woo!
But God, happy to be here, as usual.
So, I mean, by now, the album will be out and people will already have their reactions, which will all be positive and magnanimous and enjoying the record. But maybe some of the folk listening to it might not know what the songs are totally about. You know, maybe not know the full reasons behind them. They think it's one thing or think it's another. So I thought what would be quite cool to do is to chop it up and just go through all the tracks and kind of give you the fans and maybe people who haven't heard the record or haven't heard Novacrow before a chance to kind of get a bit of a window into your world. You know? Does that sound cool or what?
Yeah, no, that'd be great. Definitely.
Some people don't like talking about the songs, do they? Some people are like, it is a closed book and you must interpret it however you wish.
But well, we can just lie if we want.
Yeah.
We can just lie. I mean, so yeah, I mean, let's start at the top and work our way through. Like, ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be Novacrow talking through their new album track by track. I mean, let's start at the very beginning. And for me, it's with Shapes in the Sky. It's the same listing that I had on the Shapes in the Sky.
Yes.
So it started. That sounds like UFO shit, but I don't know how close am I, near, far.
Wherever you are, classic. So it's actually about drone warfare. And I remember writing the lyrics to be like, oh, this is really heavy. But I was reading the Tommyknockers by Stephen King, which is alien-y. Nice. I think it was a Tommyknockers. It's one with aliens in. I remember thinking like, ooh, this would be a cuddlier sort of metaphor. This scans perfectly. So it's a little alien, but a little that gigantic, powerful threat that you have no power against, put over a lot of spooky riffs.
Yeah, definitely. Like, we don't really necessarily discuss amongst ourselves what the songs are about when we write them. So like when I first heard the song, I just assumed, oh, aliens. And then eventually, like the more we talked about it, eventually Kitty would be like, oh, it's actually about drone warfare, and I was like, ah, all right, cool. But definitely in the production we tried to lean more towards the alien aspect of it with all the synths and the sort of more interesting, you know, sounds that we put into it, into the songs, to try and match that spooky alien theme.
This record, I mean, we'll get into some of the songs as we go, but this record is definitely one of those ones where you are reaching out even further. Like, yeah, we get the sort of, no, I don't want to say comedy because that's not the right word, but the, you know, the kind of, what's the word? Vaudeville kind of almost, that spooky thing. That's great. And that's like, that's your stock and trade. But it's interesting when you can hear you reaching a little bit further now with this record. It's certainly, you know, you aimed higher. You know, it was already pretty high, the stands, but you seem to have aimed higher. I mean, most people wouldn't have anticipated the song about drone warfare from Novacrow.
But maybe aliens.
Or maybe aliens. Or maybe we're lying.
It's layers of poetry there.
Exactly. We mask it well enough with these metaphors that people that don't expect it can still be like, oh, they're just writing about silly aliens. But then people who kind of dig deeper go like, oh, these guys, they, you know, there's some weird shit going on behind their in their little heads.
We expect all listeners to provide an English literature style essay per track. We'll give you a prize for the best one.
Why was that the first track then? I mean, I heard that live and I was like, clearly I know why this was the first track for me. It was because it was a good example of what was maybe going to go on with this album. But why was that kind of the first leading one?
We debated for ages, actually, of what track should go first. And it's kind of for that exact reason that we went for it. Because it's such a diverse set of songs, it was difficult to know what to put as the first track. Because sometimes we got to grip people from track one, and this seems like a good reflection that's not leaning too heavily into one style or the other. It's also got a strong intro section
to
get the juices flowing in the listener's ears.
Yeah, and it definitely sounds like probably one of the more like down the middle tracks in terms of attitude. You know, it's not silly. It's not like deeply serious on the surface level. So it's just right down the middle of what we're trying to, of the extreme sides of things that we're trying to do with Novacrow. So it's like, boom, good, like, it's just a good sort of introduction for the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Because those first three songs are fucking, they're three absolutely massively strong songs to start with. You know, it's like, the next one's Hollow Armor, ladies and gentlemen. And that's a massive song, that, isn't it? That's clearly, you know, an incredibly important song and a personal. It sounds like a very personal song as well. I mean, what can you tell us about that then?
Yeah, I mean, you'll have to read my diary for more information on that. It's a very personal song. Put a lot of heart and soul into that, and I think it's also something that any listener can kind of, you could probably apply your own meaning to it, and it will probably relate to a lot of people because it's kept vague enough deliberately that I think that'll resonate with plenty of different listeners. But I think the whole song itself, I'm so happy with the finished product because it's just ended up as powerful and emotive and epic as I was hoping.
I think, like, even like lyrically, even if you might not know the specifics of what the song's about, it's like arguably some of the best lyrics that I've seen Kitty write. Like, they just immediately kind of hit you as soon as you read them, and like, oh shit. And the way it's sung as well, it's a very it's very much centered around that sort of sentiment. So like
that was why it was really good to see that song live and see you, Kitty, dig into that song. You know, it's great to like read someone's prose or read someone's poetry or whatever it may be, but when they perform that live, there's an added level to the accentuation of how it's actually, you know, produced in front of the public and in front of people listening, that I kind of didn't, and it's first pass of the song, listened to it a few times, the first pass of the song, couldn't really unpack it properly. And then when I saw it live and just was like, I watched you more than anything else deliver that, that's when it kind of really hit home. That's like, it's pretty dark as well, I'd say. I dare say it was a pretty dark song.
Yeah, definitely. Even when it came to like recording and producing, as soon as Kitty kind of showed it to us, it was one of those where it immediately it was like, okay, this one needs to be treated with a bit more like respect and like, you know, delicacy than some other ones, because we knew it was going to be a hard hitter. It was going to be, you know, it's a very personal song. So in that way, like, even just the whole recording process for that song specifically was a lot more just contained and sort of like focused.
Yeah, the whole thing feels a little bit closer, a little bit kind of more insular, if you know what I mean, a little bit more kind of internal than that's why it's like opening with the sky and then going into armor. And then going into fucking probably the biggest song on the album for me, and certainly the one that's coming up at the new single that people will have heard, is Medusa, Medusa. That's a fucking massive earworm, that. That's probably the biggest song on the record, isn't it?
I just love how that song came to be. It was because I initially sent over the demo, and it was just guitar, bass, drums. The structure was pretty much what you hear now. And it was a riff I recycled from a stupid thing I wrote ages ago. And I was like, I have no idea where to go with this. In my head, I kind of envisioned the Voodoo Lady song from the Monkey Island games. I sent it over expecting it to be scrapped. And then Kitty just comes back with her vocal parts. And I was like, whoa, this is just immediately like, this is fucking sick. And I just heard everything else in my head. Like, yeah, full brass sections. I want marimbas here. and we just kind of crafted it together. Like, yeah, it was crazy. I sent it over just bare back because I know you what to do with it. It's amazing how Kitty's parts just immediately triggered like the rest of it.
The second I heard it, I was like, oh my God. Like, you know, when you just can't even like, just like dropping everything, trying to like, quick, I know exactly what I want to do. So excited.
Yeah. The only thing is I wish we had put John's vocals in there somewhere. Oh, that's the only thing that song is missing.
The Weeping Woman.
Yeah.
John has an incredible laugh, aka the Weeping Woman.
I cry laugh.
So it sounds a lot like, but I feel like.
Yeah, I'm not showcasing that now.
We're saving that for our second album.
Oh my God, the Weeping
Woman. But it's songs like that do metal a lot of favors, because that's got marimba in it. And when was the last time you heard that in a metal song or in a rock song?
It's a crying shame because you don't hear it anywhere often enough, really. Yeah. But again, like even just submitting it through like SubmitHub, so it sort of pitching it for different curators and stuff. And yeah, some of them were like, well, I think one of the feedback we got from one person is like, I can't tell if this is genius or if this really shit. And I'm like, that's exactly what we want. Yeah.
How often does that happen though? When you guys place ideas to each other, thinking they'll never go for this, it's ridiculous, and it suddenly becomes a song.
I mean, quite a few on the album, to be fair.
Yeah. I think, to be fair,
depends on the track.
I think there was maybe literally one song each that we both pitched that were just either like, nah, maybe not.
And that was, they were mainly for like, where does it fit in the album?
Yeah.
Like, we'll do something with that later. I'm like, plenty of these was just like, yep.
We'll do it.
Let's just run with this.
Again, we both like, we all three of us like really not albums that are long just for the sake of being long, but just, you know, a hefty album that kind of grips you. That's what we were trying to do. So whenever we would pitch songs to the other person, we'd be like, okay, can we realistically do something with this song that'll fit the whole ethos of the album and that won't just destroy us mentally trying to work, you know, piece it together. And it was just like, yep, fucking, well, we can definitely do something with that. Ooh, yeah. This one definitely. So
that's the art form, isn't it? Is it you've got to expand on the original things that people have heard. So they've heard Novacrone, they've heard Horde and things like that and previous stuff. But now that you've got to give them something else as well, but you can't go too far away from what you, it's a real balancing act. And those three songs right off the bat are probably a perfect way to hear that album, which I think that's probably you should listen to in an order, because then it really sets you up then, because you don't know, certainly when I heard the album, I did not know which way this was going to go on some of these songs. I had no idea. I
after was like, these well, three what? Songs, okay. It's like, oh,
we just had that. That's like, you know, Monkey Island theme tune song. Where am I going from here? Well, actually, where we do go is the next song, which is Hush. So, I mean, walk us through Hush.
So that, Hush was it came from quite an old demo that was knocking around on my phone. The lyrics are just a frustrated cry against intolerance and hateful people. Just the whole ethos of like, whoever shouts loudest deserves to be heard, even if what they're saying is absolutely disgusting and wrong and foolish. So, it's, being written during lockdown, there was plenty to be. I said titty. Sorry. Plenty.
there wasn't plenty of titties, unfortunately.
There was not enough titties at all. No, there was so much to be angry at, and so much to be frustrated at.
Yeah, which is great with this song, because like at its core musically, it's a relatively simple song. There's not, you know, there's not much happening into sort of melodically and structurally, but that's kind of why it works. It's because it just hits you right in the face, you know, because it kind of has to, because especially because the message that we're trying to convey is like, yeah, some people should just kind of shut the fuck up. And yeah, so like, yeah, musically it works for that specific message.
And
that sounds like a song that came together pretty quickly as well. That one, that sounds like it was pretty straightforward. The message pretty clear, straightforward, and you just kind of went, and, you know, that was it. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, like musically, I didn't know what to do with it for ages, and I think I just was super. A lot of the time, I'll have like instrumental demos, and then I'll go for like a run and listen to them and see if I get any ideas. So I think that was a furious run.
Yeah, like I think from the original demos, like I would have just touched up, you know, the drum parts and done a bit of rearranging here and there, and I try and get a bit more creative with my bass parts in this song, even though it wasn't, again, not really much to do, because the song was, the bulk of it was already there. So it was just a matter of redoing some synths and just like vocal production. But again, that was the first, I think we finished that song in like recording the vocals within like an hour or two.
Yeah. So quick. And Joe's vocals on that really give it so much more. Absolutely love it.
Absolutely. He nailed it. He nailed his parts and it was sick.
So moving right along, we've got Play My Game. And I don't know. I mean, there's some elements of what we're definitely going to have to talk about as we get to this album that are particularly serious and particularly kind of like you say, frustrated, bordering on angry. I mean, Play My Game. Tell me about that.
So this one was initially a song that I wrote as part of a musical, a most excellent musical I wrote. The musical was about our trip down to Slovenia, because there was like nine of us, and everybody in the car had a song. And this one was about John's brother, who just like, who plays loads of games, and he gets really angry at these games.
Very angry when he plays games.
Yeah. So
shout out, Jay.
Thanks, Jay. And eventually, like, this was before we even had the idea of writing an album, because a lot of the times we kind of write songs separately. And this time,
well, this is back, what, 2016, was it? 2017?
Yeah. The original, yeah, the song was written in 2017,
yeah,
the musical. The musical was written in 2016.
Yeah, it must have been 2016.
Must have been 2016. No, 2017, because that's what, yeah, 2017. Sorry. And
they're not going to check, like,
fact check. The year that we played Metal Days.
Someone will fucking check.
Someone will. It's the internet.
Like, I think you're fine.
Yeah. They might. And then about a year or two after that, we actually sat down all together and tried to completely rework the structure of it. And that was like the first time the three of us actively sat down with our instruments and tried to do something in the same room.
Because that was like, I loved, there was something about that track, because obviously it's very different to what it was, but even then when you were putting on a stupid voice and like going, woo, there was something about that track that was like, oh, I really like that. It's so not Novacrow. It was like, right, I want that.
Like the chorus chords, that fat sort of chord progression. That's exactly the same. Because that was sick. And then
all it needed was to not be about John's brother getting angry and turning it into generic super villain in a video game. And I love it.
Yeah, but that's definitely one we stuck with the game theme, and it works great as a like a fun Novacrow song.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was initially written just as a thing that we could have. Like, oh, eventually we might release as a single. Who knows? And then as soon as we got the idea to write the whole album, we're like, well, that's one song
that
done.
Has to go in.
Has to go in.
Because that's like, that's the other thing about Novacrow that everybody immediately gets onto when they start to get into you. And the people I've turned on to Novacrow, I've always said that you listen to the songs, there's some great songs going on, but they put so much work into the visualizations and the videos and everything that goes with that. That's hard. That every single song you come up with has got almost an extra two levels. You're going to have to write the song. It's going to have to be great, and that's fine. But then you're going to have to do pretty good video for it. The artwork that's going to go through it. Every song has a whole production that comes with it, you know.
I mean, I think part of that is thanks to Kitty's sort of lyrical approach. Like she's really good at writing about like stories and sort of making the inspiring, yeah. Yeah, like a visual image to the listener, which really helps with the songwriting. It helps with the production. It helps helps us write, come up with music videos.
That's what I really enjoy, especially with this one. It was just envisioning being a video game boss and just thoroughly channeling that character.
Like, even if it's a vague sort of concept, Kitty's lyrics still manage to clearly invoke an image, like at least in my head, and that's translated in the productions. So it kind of comes together. It's like, oh yes, if we can visualize it, then it's a good song.
Yeah,
if you know a Kroos song.
Because then it's that you're only two steps away from the stage show, then, aren't you? When you get a massive inflatable.
Well, that's where we get the other senses. So, yeah, so we want the songs to sound good and sing good, and on stage we want to smell good and taste good.
Yeah.
I'm missing a sense. That's feel good.
We want to touch your souls
with the songs. So if we lick this new CD, that completes the whole thing. You'll be able to taste and then therefore smell this. The whole of Novacro. This is not an advertisement for Novacro perfume. It's not going to end up with that.
Every single CD is strawberry flavored. Buy one, find out.
Yeah.
No refunds.
We personally lick each and every CD.
No, we don't. Novacro lawyers are quick to jump in there and say.
We would have pre-COVID.
So by now, most people are halfway through or so through the album, and it's fairly diverse. Certainly, I thought it was diverse listening. I listened to it in one go because I wanted to get what everybody else would hear. And it was like wholly diverse. No one song seems to fit in a good way. And then you get to Not My Mannequin, which is another one that came alive for me the second time I saw you play it live, which was when I had the chance to properly just sit and watch it. That's all kinds of levels, that song, right?
I love it.
that one's great. It's like one of the heavier tracks we put out. And it's, again, heavy hitter.
That was a good mix, really, of I think there was quite a few. There was definitely that the whole chorus part was like, I don't know what the hell to do with this. I really like it. And I want it. And it was good eventually with the sort of mannequin theme, because it was going to be an angry song about sexism. And I was like, wait, it sounds really circusy. Yes, this comes together instead of, what the hell am I trying to do with this? So I love what the final product sounds like. It is so much fun to play.
that's got a weird, huge groove in that, hasn't it? Like, it's heavy, but it ain't heavy in that respect. It's like, it's almost danceable. You know, the two times I've seen you play that live, the crowd has really reacted to that because it's got such a fucking groove, you know. That's what you don't maybe expect until you play that live in front of it. You know, how are people actually going to buy into this, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's one of those. But we're glad that people liked it.
Yeah.
Definitely, there's that synth at the very end. That was heavily inspired by a synth sound from the new Paper Mario game, the last Paper Mario game. I was playing it on my own. There's just one synth. And I was like, that's fucking sick. And then I was like, I need to put that in the album somewhere. Oh, I'm clipping like crazy. And then, yeah, as Kitty said, like, this was definitely one where a lot of the especially the synths and a lot of the drum parts kind of need to be massaged into the track a little bit. And at the end, I was like, okay, this needs something in there.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Paper Mario.
Paper song. Mario.
Massage it.
Full massage this song. Yeah.
This one went really down. This one went down really well at Bloodstock. And when we were playing it, I was like, everyone jump with me. And I was like, oh god, sorry guys, because it's not exactly the easiest riffs. Now I volunteered that we all jump and play.
There's definitely another one where it's like, I mean, this one's not as hidden, like the message. It's pretty in your face.
The only people who aren't going to get the message are the exact people that need
it.
Exactly. Which is why we need to shoehorn it in and rub it in their face.
So then we get to It's Alive.
Yay.
And that's one of the songs I think, surprised me, but I was like, this is a fucking great song. This and I think it's maybe it's going to get lost a little bit in the shuffle because it's such a especially though such a big opening and the songs around it. But it's alive. It's a great song. Where's that come from?
I think you helped write this one, didn't you?
It's so long ago, I can't even remember. I think the main riff in it was something I wrote.
Yeah.
John Credit, John Credit.
As you can tell from the excitement, I do not contribute a lot musically to the songwriting process.
He actually contributes so much that he just doesn't feel like talking about it in these songs right now. He's like, talk for me, minions. I've done enough work.
John's our muse. All the songs. No, that's like the negative ones.
No, not all. But this one was great. Like, even the first riff was so...
Yeah, that was yours.
The opening riff.
And it was like so simple, but so like effective.
This I know this was definitely lyric driven because I was like, right, I want to do a very obvious Frankenstein retelling here. And it fits with Frankenfine. That was deliberate.
I was going to say that too. Yeah.
Double bill. The verse riffs were definitely from when I was 14. That was that's a bit, you know, like when they hang around for that long and you're like, finally, you have a home, like a long time later. But
again, this one, as soon as Kitty showed me the initial demo, just immediately all the ideas started like popping off in my head. I was like, well, I can see just the whole arrangement for this song just immediately. I wanted like a gang vocal session of just women singing the chorus because I thought that'd be that, like that high timbre would have been awesome. We didn't have it in our budget.
We don't have enough friends. We don't have enough. Know?
Yeah.
You've met us. You understand.
That'll make do what I can. But
going from It's Alive into Frankenfine, which Frankenfine, by the way, is, you know, when people put up that they feed a load of information into a program and it delivers a song at the end. It's going to crazy version. That's what would happen if you put all the Nova Crew material into one machine and push it out. You would probably get Frankenfine. It's exactly what I wanted it to be. I saw the title. I was like, I hope this is what I want it to be. And it was.
Frankenfine.
This one was, again, another one that was from that was from the musical that I wrote. And this one was John's song. It was him about singing about himself.
Yeah.
And how much he loves himself.
Yeah, it's very in the mirror. Egotistical
and
song.
Just saying, one time we got in the car and John had clearly been listening.
Every time
he'd been listening to his song.
Like, about a couple of years ago when I used to drive to work, it was about an hour-long drive, I used to play the song that Freddie wrote about me on the musical. I played it on loop and would sing to it.
So then every time we'd get in the car, we would just hear John's song. And we're like, John, are you just listening to your own song?
Yeah. Again. That's
a pretty creepy vibe. There it is. Yeah.
I get images
of John in this Silence of the Lambs type of thing where it's playing horses and he's kind of dancing to Frankenfine now. I don't want any of that.
Would you fuck me?
That's exactly John. He has a skin mask of his own face. No, this one, this had to go on. Clearly, I mean, a big thing about why they get on the album is like you got to want to listen to it on repeat, and if you hate it after a while, it's just not going to be an earworm. And clearly John had proved that. The basis of the track,
to be honest, this song barely changed from the demo except for the lyrics.
And one lyric was kept the same in honor of John's love for it, which was
I can't remember which one.
Man.
You remember that, John.
Yeah, he does.
But no, that one's fun. I think there might be a few people that are going to be a bit put off by it, but fuck them, because I think it's great. They're wrong.
I love this one. I think John's vocals are absolutely amazing.
And it was Stuart Barker who played drums for the album. He keeps saying this one was his favorite to play as well. Which is like, I was like, oh, I didn't expect that out of you. Yeah, but great.
Can confirm when I asked this, shout out to Stu, when I asked him about the album, he was like, that's his favorite song. This is the one he had the most fun with. So like you say, you know, you can't make this album for anybody other than yourself, you know. Oh, yeah. And if you do try and become something else or what you think people expect it to be. It's not going to be an overthrow. It's going to be removed from it. So I wanted to be surprised at this album. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is something that you're going to get when you listen to the album that you don't hear a lot of people say about metal and rock albums. I laughed at quite a lot of points during this album to myself. And that's the true secret of making great art. If people laugh in a good way with you, as well as bang their heads, then you've won. You know, look at Devin Townsend.
Oh, yeah, won. Exactly.
Bang your head, split your side, boom. 10 out of 10.
So... What can you tell me about All I See Is Hair?
I ever since I've heard the song Skeksis by Strapping Young Lad, I just really wanted to write a song with that Gasolina beat, doon, ga-ding, ga-doon, ga-ding, but in a metal context. And I came up with the main riff once by accident, and then just the rest of the instrumental song anyways was like, it just wrote itself.
Like you say by accident, as if you're like frying an egg and then it just egg, suddenly just,
I was wallpapering my loft and then I accidentally
discovered the theory of relativity.
I was meaning to go to buy a sandwich, but instead I wrote this song.
Love it.
but this one, like, I had a specific, because I think I wrote most of the lyrics for this one. And I had a very specific image. So I write quite differently from Kitty. I'm not as I really much struggle to write things directly, but in my head, and I had an image of like a situation, like a weird sort of demonic possession kind of situation, and then when I wanted to elaborate on that lyrically, I kind of tied it to my own issues with mental health, very very sort of loosely metaphored into it, but then because Kitty's the one who's got to sing these songs both on record and live, ultimately what matters lyrically is that she feels comfortable singing these words, and that, you know, she feels more sort of empowered to sing these words. So some of the lyrics changed, not too much, to be fair.
Not too much.
No. But it's great. It's a good.
Yeah.
But that's a nice mix to have, isn't it, Freddie? Where you write a lot more of a, wrong way to put it, but a world of you, a bit of a more of a bigger view, and then Kitty is very much more a like to the straight to the point type of thing, very kind of pointed writing.
Yeah.
You can hear the balance really nicely, and it's a good sounding board, because if you both have similar styles, it wouldn't work as much.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, like you say, you know, the lyrics that you, some of the ones that you write, Kitty's got to deliver those as well and mean something. What's going to be interesting, guys, and certainly ladies and gentlemen, for the people listening to the album, will be that they'll get different things from it. Someone will come up and go, that song means this to me, you know, and that's true art. That's a real sort of writing, and that's real sort of, you know, artistry, if you can do that. Like, God, that sounded a little bit pretentious there.
No, I love it.
It makes sense, yeah.
It's high art.
Yeah.
I'd say the little changes to the lyrics in this were probably to make it a bit more vague. So any listener might add their own meaning. Because I think with any of the like heavy, not in the metal sense, like the heavier tracks, it's like people have got different battles that you don't know about. And music is such a good place to experience those feelings and like let them out and stuff. So it's having that sort of deliberate vagueness in a way, because people will fill in the gaps with what they want
to
hear.
Yeah, maybe I'm just a shit lyricist and I try to mask it by like just saying, oh, it's vague. So any vague lyrics you hear in this album are probably mine.
That's why I think people who have been seeing you live, certainly the people who would have seen you play Bloodstock, you gave them 30 minutes, 25 minutes of escapism in that way, that, you know, it's like, it is, this could be as silly as you want it to be, or it could be as serious as you want to interpret it. And we're going to play with some themes that you maybe not have been too familiar with in metal. And we're going to play with certainly, you know, meters in metal that you maybe and rock that you haven't been familiar with. We're going to do stuff like that. That's great. That's what people enjoy.
Yeah, like this one was, again, I wasn't sure if the other guys were going to like it or not, because it's clearly inspired by like dance music, or like, you know, it's got that really sort of vibe, which I love, but, you know, it's not, certainly not for everyone. But, you know, this one I can anticipate, like when we eventually start playing it live, it could go one or two ways. Either people are just going to sit there and be like, oh, what the fuck is this? Or they're going to be dancing along, like
dancing their asses off.
Dancing their asses off.
Medically injuring their asses. Exactly.
Dancing force. So let's move on to Torn to Pieces. Walk me through that.
Torn to Pieces.
Torn to Pieces. Yeah.
This was you sent over basically all of the demo, like pretty much.
Yeah.
Finished. There weren't too many changes.
Yeah, I think you would have changed the lyrics. I can't remember. I cannot remember writing the lyrics.
I did all the lyrics for this, definitely, because it was...
I remember vaguely writing a vocal part.
Yeah.
And that's it.
No, I remember the pieces? The lyrics,
yeah, okay.
Nailed it, was very specifically about being in a really shit job. Very thinly veiled metaphors. So I'm sure plenty of people... will relate to that.
Yeah. But this was my attempt of writing, Igor's last album came out shortly before writing this. And the last 30 seconds of the last song of that album is just my favorite thing ever in music. And I was like, I want to write a whole song that's that. And then I immediately realized I can't do it. But then, but then this came out. I was like, oh, this will do.
I remember the riff now. Because it was sitting on my desktop for ages. I tell a lie because I remember being like, I like this. What the hell comes next?
Yeah, we struggled for a bit. And then eventually I was like, okay, well, I wrote a riff. I used the riff that I wrote when I was like 15 for the intro bits. And I was like, okay, now it's starting to come together.
At least our teenage selves got a few of their riffs in. Don't forget me!
Shit, but we're out of material.
Isn't that songwriting personified? You take the things that you hear and you really like, you try to do those things and you can't because you're not those people writing that. You're yourselves. And then, add a dash of your younger self and those Island of Misfit Toys riffs that you never could quite find homes for, and they find a home, and somehow it goes into the river there is no overcrow, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those, as soon as you start writing, and then I was like, okay, I'm definitely not going to be able to write what I initially intended to, but let's just kind of see where this goes. And then we started writing the album, like, oh well, fuck it, chuck it in. But no, this one's good. I go crazy on the bass parts, which is always fun. What else?
This one's fun live as well.
This one's fun, yeah. This was initially going to open the album for obvious reasons, if you can tell from the intro. Excuse me.
We changed our mind because it's a little.
It's a bit too on the nose.
Yeah, we thought it doesn't reflect the whole album as well as Shapes in the Sky might do, so it was switched. But I'm happy with that decision now.
Upon reflection.
Because you've been sitting with this album, complete in inverted commas, for quite a while now, haven't you? So you've gone back and listened to it like a lot, then you almost kind of numb to it, like an artist gets, but like, I need other people to hear this now because I'm so removed from it. I've heard it that often.
Well, I know some people kind of, some musicians like don't listen to their own stuff. I don't listen to my own stuff regularly, but with this, again, it was a bit more collaborative effort. It was all of us, and we all tried to write something that we would regularly listen to. So now I'm at a point where I can listen to him like, yeah, this is dope.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
I practice along to it quite a lot, but it's like, oh, good. Oh, excuse to put it on, you know.
It's still good. It still holds. Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's get on to Daybreak then.
Yeah. This was one I just had written. I think I wrote it like in 2015.
Not teenager.
Not quite teenager, no. Again, it started... not really much to say about this one. I had it. You might have changed some of the lyrics.
Some lyrics, but not a lot.
But again, it was extremely vague to begin with, lyrically. I didn't really have a specific lyrical theme in mind. I just wanted to sound like gloomy. It was a bit of like a songwriting exercise and a bit of like, I just wanted to write like some weird and sad and creepy.
Your Tinder profile.
One of the things people might be wondering when they listen to the album and they listen to this as well will be wondering, is Freddie two steps away from an Overcrow musical?
Another musical.
I do have an idea for another musical.
Absolutely do a musical. It would be fucking amazing.
It'd have to be Banana.
Ben Hanna the musical.
That was the idea that I've been circling in my head. I've spoken about Ben Hanna far too many times. I can't go on now.
I reckon we could probably do a fucking musical with the tracks. It would have a shit.
I think so.
Oh, okay. I see what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a room for that.
Well, maybe for our album launch.
Oh my god, musical places, people. But
yeah,
we're nearly at the end of the album now. One of the most evocative titles on the album is "Why Are My Dreams Always Trying to Kill Me?" Well, okay, shoots, go.
You know, at the start when you were like, "Oh, songs don't just like pop out." This one definitely popped out because I wrote this in probably half an hour. The demo, I mean, I wrote the demo, and all of the lyrics are based on fucked up dreams that Freddy's told us about, and not all of them.
No. Some of them were too inappropriate.
Some would have to be on a dark album, but all the lyrics are based on Freddy's dreams. So I guess you were the muse here. And it just was pure fun. And to be fair, I didn't think this was going to make it on the album because I'm like, we're doing the demo. And I'm like, John, come and do a stupid voice. But like,
it didn't even
change that much where you sound like you're doing...
Prince John
from Robin Hood voice as the spooky voice near the end. But this one is pure fun. And it felt like
a lot of fun. Listen to it; it felt like a lot of fun. Yeah.
For me, it was just you know, bringing back dark memories, literal nightmares.
Like on endless loop for therapy. Yeah.
I mean, I should just show this song to my therapist and be like, "That's a little snippet for you."
And he's like, "I get it. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah."
Yeah. I mean, do you have anything you want to say about the song, John?
Just fun memories of your dreams, to be honest.
Yeah, because we used to live together for a few months, and I think that's when, like, that was at the height of my nightmares. I still have them very regularly.
Well on us.
But.
Freddy.
Hey, Freddy.
But yeah, it was just been like
You like the snuggle trains.
I wasn't on the snuggle train when I fell asleep. But yeah, it was just every night would just be a new nightmare. Sometimes they weren't even that bad, but I would just still wake up in like a panic. And sometimes they were horrific.
Yeah. You see this? That song leads itself so much. There's so much you could do with videos with that. There's so much you could do.
We have an idea, yeah.
It's so much.
We're just waiting for...
nightmares.
Yes. We're just waiting for the right financial back.
Yeah, I mean...
We're wrapping up the album now and... When you go back and listen to yourselves before we get to the last track, are there the tracks that really stand out where you go, you know what, we nailed the whole album, but that track there, that's the one. You know, was there particular tracks for each of you that really kind of, I got it, got exactly what it wants to do, got exactly where it wants it to go?
It's really hard. I think in the way that you described it just now, like in terms of thinking nailed the intention, might actually be this last song.
Okay.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's good leading.
Yeah. No, but there's some, like, I'm so happy with how Medusa came out. Again, that's another one that I would have done a few things different production-wise, but, you know, the intention is there with all these songs.
Yeah.
But for some reason, I don't know why, this last one for me kind of is like, ooh.
My Virtue. My Virtue.
This one came out.
Yeah.
But what about you guys?
I really like it. Oh, now I'm going to leave. I have a lot of soft spots for Medusa, Not Your Mannequin, Hollow Armor, definitely. And I really enjoy Play My Game because every time I listen to it, I'm like, I can't wait to do this live again and just prance around like an asshole. Enough about menacing assholes. What was it called?
I mean, it's really tough because a lot of these are like big hitters for me. I really like the middle section of like Hush, Play My Game and Not Your Mannequin.
Yeah.
I think are all really strong songs. I particularly like in Not Your Mannequin, I'm probably getting the terminology wrong, but like the bridge section where it sort of has this like build up.
That thing.
There's a choir backing and you're singing a bit quieter, but then it's just like, it's really fun to play on guitar and it just I think I was doing some drawing, like just some sketches while I was listening to the album. And then when that bit came on, it just gave me such like frisson, like goosebumps. And I was like, yeah, that's solid. Like that.
And that's a whole choir of just my voice in the Yay. Back. So I'll record some special for you, John. Later.
So let's talk about that. That's the last song on the album is My Virtues.
Yeah.
Yes, this was written like pretty much as soon as the lockdown first happened, because it was hot as shit. If you guys remember,
it was
super hot, and I had like my garage door open, and I would just because I wasn't working at the time.
You got a door there?
Yeah, there's a door behind it. So I would wake up just, I don't know, around 1 in the afternoon, because I wasn't working at the time, and I would just sit with the garage door open, reading books and like drinking coffee until about 5 or 6 in the afternoon in this blistering heat. And every now and then I would just bring out my guitar and just fuck around with it. And then this main riff came out, and then the rest of the song literally wrote itself in the space of an hour. And then I got these sort of like desert theme to the whole song. So the lyrics, and I was like, what works well with like a desert sort of theme? And my head just kept coming back to the film Holes. If anyone's ever seen it,
I remember Shia LaBeouf. Deep
cut.
Yeah, that's the one. And there was a character there kissing Kate Barlow, and so I kind of wrote it about her story arc. Which, if you didn't know, she was the love interest of this character who was killed for being black, essentially. And then she kind of goes on this evil killing rampage due to the pain that she was feeling. And I thought that was such a profound like thing. I was like, I can probably whip something up in that same vein, right? So yeah,
I love it. Such a banger.
Yeah, and I got to play around with all these different sounds. I got a fretless bass going on. I got a pitch shifted harmonica. I got my friend Robin to play cello on it.
They sound great.
And even structurally, like it's quite different from a lot of the stuff we've done, with that slow build up to this massive end with no vocals, just guitar solo, and then that's the technical vernacular.
That's a very technical way of explaining it. Like, I'm sure people could see through that, the technical jargon, and understand right
then.
Where in the world now, because that's the whole album, where in the world now where it's very de rigueur to play an album in full? Is there a plan to do that?
So we obviously have a very brutal strategy where we'll break into everyone's houses and force them to listen to it from beginning to end.
Yeah.
It's all right. I can say that now because the plan will already be in motion by the time.
We'll have already been executed.
They've already gone through.
We plan to be the Santa Claus of obnoxious music.
Oh my God. We blast him through the chimney.
you just start hearing the theme of Shapes in the Sky, da, 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 da. And people are like, oh no,
it's not shut the fuck up.
Another crow.
But
Christmas song in there somewhere.
Oh yeah, that's gonna be our next album. Yeah. Christmas album. But,
holiday fun time.
But we definitely have a plan of, I say definitely, potentially, we do plan on potentially play the album in its entirety.
Yeah.
We'd definitely like to do it at some
point.
Now
I want to do a fucking musical. Now he's put that idea in my head.
Now everybody wants us to do a musical.
Costumes. Fuck, oh my God.
Sorry.
Shit's fun. Full costume musical. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
But no, we'd definitely like to. There'd be a few challenges with playing this album in its entirety. We might not be able to do it in the same order because, like, ending with Daybreak towards the end at a live show might be a bit, if a mood killer.
Get your lighters out.
But so we might have to restructure the order a little bit, but we definitely like to do this live at some point soon. We can't say more than that at the time.
What a tease. Excellent. Ladies and gentlemen, I've managed to get the magic sort of triforce of Merseyside great bands, and into which I've had all three members of Novacrow on the show now. I'm really happy. I've completed my set. I can now claim that I have ascended to the next level.
Now you gotta defeat the Elite Four.
Speaking of Triforce, who would be Courage, who would be Wisdom, who would be Power?
That's the best question. I should have started with that.
Courage, wisdom, and power. I feel
I'm
like
too
I might
dumb
be
for wisdom. So.
Okay, I was gonna say. Okay, then I'll probably be courage.
Yeah, yeah. I can
guess
see that.
I'm wisdom then. You know.
Fucking I'll be wisdom.
Also, I'm ginger like Ganondorf.
My so. Nerd. I love that. It's good.
Amazing. Ladies and gentlemen, if you haven't already purchased the album and are enjoying it, you must purchase this album and then you will enjoy it. It will be the fabulous Novacrow. What a wonderful, wonderful little sit down, little dance through the album there. I strongly urge that you check it out. It will be available now when you hear this recording. Thanks again, folks. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having us, man. It's been a blast.
You.
There you have it. That's Novacrow track by track to their new album, Look At Me Now. Some songs I even thought were about other things and turned out to be about other things, which is it's always good to hear. Kind of, I completely misinterpreted some of the songs, but I think it's so nice that you can hear the love and the care that they've had to go into that album and how much thought's gone into that album. It really kind of, for me, going back and listening to those songs again. It's nice to get a little window into those songs and you kind of enjoy them even more. They're going to have a stack of success with this already. It's been really well received, the album. Lots and lots of plaudits, rightly so. And they're going to be playing a whole bunch of shows as well. There's one that's just been announced around Christmas at the North Shore Troubadour. And I think the seeing some of these songs live is going to be the absolute icing on the cake there. I mean, and they're just the lovely people anyway. I'll get Novacrow on the show again after we kind of see them in live and playing these shows and see how these songs evolve and see which ones the songs you prefer. You know, please tell me in the comments, like, which your favourite songs, what you enjoy on the album, and we can chat about those as well. But if you are in a band, I've been doing a couple of, so I really enjoy them. These, like, deeper dives into songs on band's albums in full form, like, so track by track, going through and talking about them. If you want to do that with one of your new releases, we can do that. Okay, we can do it with a single, we can do it with an EP, it doesn't really matter. We can have a chat and talk about the album itself. So if you are in a band and want to chat about your upcoming album, maybe do a track by track with that as well, always open to doing that. Please contact me. It's nice as well that the bands I've been speaking to recently have all been Merseyside based bands, which falls in line with the project that I'm involved in, Metal on Merseyside. So if you are a band from Merseyside, I'd really like to talk to you. I'd really like to chat about any upcoming releases or albums that you have planned. It was really nice to sit down with Novacrow. I think I'll probably do that again at some point. I hope you enjoyed that. I hope you enjoyed listening to it and got something from it. I hope you go back and listen to their album and enjoy their album even more. I'll put all the links and the necessary bits and pieces on the socials so you can check out, and if you haven't bought the album, buy the album now. Once again, thanks for listening, and I'll see you at the show.